Hi, it's Ellen DeGeneres. Welcome to my podcast. We're going to listen to some of the best moments from the show, and it's going to be hosted by four executive producers that I love. Happy listening.
On today's episode of Ellen on the Go, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is here.
Woohoo!
And Andy becomes a blackjack dealer
attempts
at the Hard
to.
Rock.
I attempt to become a
You're
blackjack.
A blackjack dealer at the Hard Rock Hotel, and Ellen is the cocktail server.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, Ellen and Julia inspire us all to get out and vote.
Let's not forget about Ellen's post-Oscar show.
That's right. Yep. Ellen's Ooh. Post-Oscar show. The Oscars. Next day, us.
Perfect. Woo-hoo.
Right? I'm Mary Conley. Welcome to Ellen on the Go.
I'm Kevin Lehman. I'm taking my diet pills.
I'm Ed Glavin.
And I'm Andy Lassner. Captain.
Captain?
Yeah.
Captain Andy Lassner?
Well, captain of the podcast.
And Tennille Ed.
Hi, everyone. How's everyone's week going? It's Thursday.
It's going good.
So far, so good.
So far, so good.
Kevy had
like
a
with the way you're sitting. You can.
Kevy had a wild birthday weekend. Did we discuss that on Tuesday?
No, we did not discuss it.
Kevin
tired.
Had a very special birthday. Turned 50. And to celebrate, ended up where he always
I
ends
can't
up.
I can't imagine being 50.
In
that is so old.
A high roller room wow. in Las Vegas. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
At a slot machine. And so, how'd you do, Kevin?
Why do all of us get hurt?
Because he tried to hurt me.
Okay, I just want to say one thing. Here's what yes, I'm just going to say. I asked Kevin this morning, how did you do?
Right.
And he literally goes, I don't know how much I have. I just know the stack of money is
yes.
bigger than the stack of money I went with.
Right.
That's
so
true.
To him, he doesn't even have to count. He just measures by how big a stack of cash
it's like,
is.
It's, and by the it's way, like Ray Liotta in Goodfellas,
and
in
just
the movie
one other
Goodfellas.
Thing.
How much do you need, Karen?
Wait,
do you
I have just to say one other thing. And when he said the stack was bigger, he put his hands about 18 inches apart, like
no.
holding it up, like it was a bigger stack, like this.
It is a stack, however.
Yes.
It's just because I haven't been home at when uh-huh. the time you asked me that, I haven't been home to count my money yet.
Do you have one of those cash counters that they have in the casino?
That would
oh
be
my gosh.
So good.
I was talking
good.
To my friends this weekend. Do you guys know I used to wear one of those change things, the silver?
No, that's fantastic.
To school.
No.
So
yes. Why?
Because I was the world's
you were
fattest
such
nerd.
A nerd.
I know.
What did you do with the
what
change?
What did you do with
so
the change?
He would have his change.
Well, that also was asked this weekend. My mom would be the lunch lady on Little Caesars Day. I went to a private school, so we didn't have like a big cafeteria. We had a trailer that you could go and you could sign up for pizza that day. My mom would sell it. She would always give me a bag of crazy bread to give out to my friends. However,
you
I'd
it
sell
all.
It.
Oh my God.
Wow.
How much would you sell it for?
So
oh, I don't remember. Maybe a dollar or whatever.
But you had change ready in case
yep.
they needed change.
Yes. I was always selling or trying to figure out ways to make money.
See, I was always doing that too.
Let's see.
But I didn't have the change thing.
You need the change thing. And I loved rolling coins.
I rolled a lot of coins
oh
as a kid.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm sorry this is so boring, but that's my
it's
life.
It's not boring.
It is.
It's not boring.
I had a paper route. I counted change. You kidding me?
You did?
Yeah, I rolled a lot of pennies.
Yeah.
Paper route was on a bike or walking?
I had a paper route on a bike. You know what I did? I had a paper route, and I liked it because I made money. And then a young kid who had another paper route that was sort of adjacent to my paper route dropped his paper route. So they were trying to find someone to do his paper route, and I was like, I will do both paper routes. And so there was a place called The Branch, which was
You expanded your business?
Uh-huh. Yeah, double.
So I would go do my paper route, go back to The Branch, get his papers, and do his paper route. And I did it for years. And then I morphed that into—
That's before school?
That was before school. Yeah. I would collect after school on Fridays.
What time would you have to get up?
I don't remember.
Wow.
It was
crazy.
Dark. It was dark. My brother, wait, this is a great story. So we sold newspapers out in front of the church.
That I knew.
My brother did it before I did it, and then I inherited it from him. But I did it with him for maybe a year, and the first mass was at 7 a.m. So the papers would get dropped off by trucks from two different newspapers at like 6 a.m. So one night, my brother may have started partying by this point. He was 3 years older than me. He wakes me up and he tells me that it's 6 o'clock and we're late and we got to go get ready. And we used to borrow money from my parents because you have to buy the newspapers first. They show up, you pay for all the newspapers. And then when you sell them, you ideally
right.
get more back than you paid. And he was lying to me. It was midnight.
Oh, my gosh. No way.
So I'm in my parents' bedroom getting money out of my dad's sock drawer, which they used to call the vault. And my parents are like, what are you doing? I was like, it's time. We're going to do the newspapers. And they're like, it's midnight. I'm like, no, it's not midnight. Tommy just said it's 6 a.m. We got to go.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny.
That's fantastic.
I am the sucker born every minute.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Have you ever woken up thinking it was morning and it wasn't morning and you've started your day?
It was my first week working at Disney World. And when you're training, you have to get there before any park guests are there. So I was off schedule. I had to wake up super early. I came home one day, fell asleep on the couch.
Yep.
Woke up at dusk that looked a lot like sunset.
Sure.
And was in a full panic and didn't realize it until speeding to Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
And I realized, wait, the sun doesn't rise in the west. And
wow.
That's when I knew it was actually like 5 p.m. or whatever.
Yep. I had a job where out of college where I was a lunch lady at a school. And I was a lunch lady at the school that I went to as a kid.
Were you the world's youngest lunch lady?
I mean, that's crazy. Isn't it always old ladies?
I was the world's youngest lunch lady.
Wow.
And it was terrifying because the lunchroom was in the basement, and I would get to work, and I'd go to the basement, and I was the only one in the basement until the kids came down for lunch. So I woke up at midnight thinking that it was noon and that I had slept through the morning and missed making lunch for all the kids.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, none of this stuff is what we read at the top of the podcast.
No. This is bonus material.
It's bonus.
It's podcast bonus material.
If this were a DVD, it would be in a separate disc, you said?
Yeah,
it would
exactly.
be.
Exactly.
Got it.
You know who doesn't come and see us very often, but every time she does, we love it?
I love it so much.
You tell me who.
J.L.D.
Star of Veep.
Julia Louis Dreyfus.
That's correct.
Star of maybe the funniest, smartest show that's ever existed.
That show was fantastic.
Veep was the smartest, funniest, greatest show. She's so brilliant in it.
Here's how I know, one of the reasons I know Veep was good is that sometimes, occasionally, it would make me sick to my stomach because it would remind us of my job. and what we do.
But here's the one thing I will say. Seinfeld and Veep are two of the greatest sitcoms of all time. And she's a star
What's
of both
the common
of them.
Denominator?
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
JLD,
as Kevin knows her.
I'm on season 4 of Seinfeld.
Yay.
There you go, buddy.
There you go, buddy. Hello, buddy.
So the timing of her being here was genius because it was the day after the Super Bowl and the day after Donald Trump had tweeted congratulations to the great state of Kansas.
Oh, she had so much fun with that.
And so she was talking about what the storyline would have been if Veep was still on.
Here's a little bit of Ellen and Julia talking.
Did you watch the Super Bowl? Did you care about either team?
Well, my boys did. They're huge 49ers fans, so they were disappointed. But I'm not a football lover, so I was doing other things. However, I did see the tweet that Donald Trump put out. And Claire McCaskill, former senator from Missouri, retweeting it.
And he sent it to me right away when it happened.
It is so extraordinary.
The great state of Kansas.
Kansas City, Kansas.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really gets this country.
Yeah.
Wow, I thought that was absolutely incredible. Anyway, that tweet was on live for about 12 minutes, and then it was deleted.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, if I were doing Veep right now, it would be really fun to script those 12 minutes between him launching the tweet and it getting deleted. Yeah. What an idiot. Idiot. It's so humiliating.
Doesn't it make you miss doing Veep, though?
Well, it does and it doesn't. I mean, I have to say, I think he's doing a better job of our show. except to say that it, in fact, isn't even remotely funny.
Right.
But it does make me miss it. I mean, it was super fun. It was just hard to compete with that crap.
Yeah, it is. It really is, but if you haven't watched it, you just go back and binge watch it. It is really probably one of the best shows ever on television.
Thank you, Ellen. That's so nice.
I mean, it was brilliant.
Thank you.
She's just awesome.
It was
and
so
a cancer
nice.
Survivor.
She's so good.
She talked about how, you know, she was sort of reticent about being so public about it, but then it really meant something that people were saying because she was talking about it, how much it helped her.
Yeah, she's a badass.
She's a badass.
That's what she is. It's important that everyone get out and vote.
Yes. Yes.
Right? It's important every year that everyone get out
You've
and vote.
You've always said that, Mary.
And it's important this year that everyone get out and vote.
Yep.
Ellen and Julia did a tape piece, a PSA.
PSA.
Encouraging people to get out and vote.
Yes, they did.
It's really funny.
One funny lady and another funny lady together talking about the need to get out and vote. Very funny. Good message. Take a listen.
Hi, it's me, Ellen.
And it's me, television star and America's sweetheart, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Me too. And then we're both registered voters as well.
That's right.
For instance, if you wanted to vote for me and Julia as president and vice president, you would have to register to vote.
Not that we're running, but I mean, if we were, it seems much more likely that I would be president and you would be vice president.
You really have to register to vote first. That's our point.
Yes, of course. And each state has its own deadline. So if you live in Montana, your deadline to register.
Or New Mexico, mm-hmm. or New York.
Right, or Colorado.
Or Michigan.
Oregon.
Oregon?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Oregon. Oregon?
No, that's incorrect. That's why you're more vice president material. Oh, it's Oregon.
No, it's not Oregon. Oregon mm-hmm. sounds like you're playing an organ, like in church. Oregon.
It's Oregon.
It's not Oregon. No one says, where are you from?
Look it.
I see what it says, but it's not saying.
It's Oregon.
Oregon. Oregon.
What you say is crazy.
You're crazy. Again, we're not running.
No, but we will be registering and voting in that order.
Go to ellentube.com to find out more.
I wish we had more of a relationship with her. I wish she came around and saw us more often than
she does. Well, it's weird. She and Ellen have a close relationship.
Like, I know.
They text a lot.
I know, but she doesn't do our show as often as I'd like her to.
Yeah. No. Do I see her doing other things, though? I feel like she just doesn't do as many talk
she
show
doesn't.
Appearances.
She does. No. She does do things, but like she might do one or two things per project.
Yeah, it's not
and
a
sometimes
ton.
We're not the one or two
right.
things.
But I loved when when she was on, when Veep was getting nominated for awards, and she was always in the mix with those awards with Amy Poehler, your friend from Parks and Rec.
Right.
And they were always really, really funny with that. And I miss seeing her more.
Yeah. Well, you should reach out.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
Andy.
Yes.
Reluctantly.
Very.
Always.
Constantly.
Went to Florida, Hollywood, Florida, with Ellen.
Super Bowl
the
weekend.
The weekend of the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And shot a tape piece with Ellen at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, Florida.
It's shaped like a guitar.
Yes.
It's shaped like a guitar.
And
I'm not talking about Andy.
She and
he's shaped more like a stand-up bass.
The point is, Ellen and I did a piece where I was a blackjack dealer and she was my cocktail waitress.
Yeah, she was. You were kind of the lead in the piece,
yeah, you were.
And
well,
she
yeah.
had sort of a supporting role.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't my decision.
Andy, you were it so was, funny. I loved it.
She started with, "Welcome, we're here at the Hard Rock Cafe," and I said, "Okay, cut.
I'm going to stop you.
I'm going to stop you here. We're at a hotel," and that's how the day started. But it's so fun.
Did you get pushed in a fountain?
I may have gotten pushed into a fountain. I may have, yeah. But the nice thing with shooting with Ellen, it's fast. What you see is how it happened.
Yeah.
She does not. You get there and you're done.
It's
so
crazy how fast she shoots.
Yeah. And then the next day is when I did Kalen at the Super Bowl. I didn't do him at the Super Bowl, but I did a tape piece with Kalen
at
the Super
Bowl. Just start it all over again.
I can't.
Okay.
Andy, you gotta tell everybody.
Yeah.
You know I love you to death. And
oh God.
It was so funny. The one thing I like to screw with you with a little bit we've talked about is your costuming.
Yes.
So tell everybody. I don't think we never talk about it in the piece. But I ordered Andy like those shape up Skechers that are absolutely hideous, like with a full-on rounded bottom.
Yes, black and with like a rounded bottom and thick, like you
like
see people.
Mary probably saw the lunch ladies wearing these shoes.
Yes, like a
I
lunch
lady. I was
the only
shoe. Lunch lady.
And he got me dealer pants that were,
pleated.
I don't know, 2 inches too short, and a shirt that was probably one size too small, which is how Kevin likes to thank me for all my work.
I just used your last season sizes.
See what I mean?
See?
I literally couldn't close the pants at first. But the point being, so I put on these shoes. I'm so mad at Kevin. They're shooting them. They're like,
he's literally texting us going, can I just wear my own shoes?
Can I wear my Nikes? I want to wear my Nikes.
Kevin's like, no, you got to wear these. Cut to 15 minutes later. We're down in the lobby of the hotel. And I realize these are the most comfortable shoes I've ever worn in my life. I could never wear them, but oh my God, I get why these, you know, the people who are on their feet all day would wear a shoe like this.
I'm just going to say your calves look particularly toned.
I know. Thank you. They were, are those the ones that you're supposed to work out for? No, those aren't the ones that are supposed to get you stronger, are they?
Yeah.
So you're saying that the Yeezys that you got from China, you think they're not Skechers?
The Skechers are very comfortable, and I got real Yeezys. I just happened to have gotten them at a good price from China. The point being...
just happened to have gotten them price from China.
I became a blackjack dealer. I got very nervous because there was a lot of chips there. There's a lot of people looking at you like...
There's a lot of money. You're dealing, you're playing
money,
with the house money.
It was all nerve-wracking. And the, what do they call them, pit bosses, who was standing in the distance?
Uh-huh.
He didn't find our messing with the money quite as funny as everyone else did.
I wanted to ask about that.
Yeah.
They seemed pretty lax.
Yeah,
they were
did.
Pretty lax, but they were watching the whole time to make sure, because it's real chips.
It was crazy.
So, yeah.
When you guys were and scooping them up and they're rolling over the floor.
But didn't we buy the chips at the table?
We bought a certain amount. There was some sort of purchase. And all I know is when we left, as Ellen and I left the shoot, I saw people gather around the table to, you know, make sure everything was clean. And I don't know if they knew all the chips I put in my pocket that I gave out to you guys when I got back, but hopefully.
Hmm.
That's a joke, people. Hard Rock, we're
That's
kidding.
A joke, people. I kept them for myself.
That is correct.
No, everybody who saw the piece knows he dropped them as he was leaving the table.
Yes.
It was so good.
There was a lot.
Do we show, can we play a clip of it, even though it's you know, you hear it and don't see it?
Try, here's a tiny piece.
So listen and imagine watching.
What you're watching, and then go to your DVR and check it out.
Or EllenTube, or YouTube.
I'm going to take over here now.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right, what do we got?
You in the middle of a hand?
You're not. I'm dealer.
No, I know.
This is me.
I know. All right.
All right, here we go. Here we go.
Okay, what do you want to do?
Here's split those. Here's split those.
I got you.
Split those.
It's not your money.
Split those. Split those.
The millionaire is telling you how to spend your money. Okay, what do you want?
Hit it.
Really?
Hit it. That's it. What is that? 9.
That's too much.
Too much, okay.
I'm going to have you add real quick, because I don't think you can add. All right, really fast.
I got this guy.
How much is that? How much is that? Real quick.
27.
How much is that?
27,
32. How much is that?
18.
How much is that?
You don't do that. Why can't I just do one thing without you harassing?
How much is that? How much is that?
That's a lot. It's too much.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to help with the cocktail waitresses.
So yeah. Get
I'll be back and take your order.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, great.
Here we go. Okay. Table with.
Just so you guys know, she's a big pain in the ass.
All right, here we go.
All right, now, it's time to talk about Ellen's post-Oscar show.
Okay. Yep.
So it just aired, today's Thursday, it just aired on Tuesday, so it's definitely still on your DVR.
Yep.
I highly recommend you watch it. But let's start with Jerry.
Oh, Jerry. How much did everybody love Jerry?
The audience, when they just like heard
this
the intro,
is
went
now,
crazy.
This guy is now... officially famous. Like, so he's on the show Cheer. He's part of the Navarro Cheer team. And he's known, he's sort of legendary for his mat talk, which is apparently cheering people on while they're
encouraging
pep
when you're not the star of the show.
And so somebody had the idea that Jerry would be a good Oscar correspondent. So we thought, let's try it. The stars on the red carpet that turned out for Jerry, it was unbelievable.
It was insane.
He got Brad Pitt.
I don't think anyone that we've ever sent has got Brad Pitt.
Right.
No.
Just Jerry.
No.
Just people so genuinely.
Well, Brad Pitt's not nominated every year,
yeah,
so there's
that's a good
that.
Point.
So but genuinely excited to talk to him and celebrate with him.
Yeah,
people
that
running
was
up to him
amazing.
Going, oh my God, Kathy Bates running up to him. Oh my God, I love you. I love you. Like it was unbelievable.
It was so it was cool. Unbelievable.
Laura Dern going, my daughter was giving me Matt talk on the way here,
and him saying to Billie Eilish, "Well, I won Daytona," and she's like, "I know. We watched. It's crazy how much people." Loved him. And this kid just exudes joy.
Yep.
Like, he's just happy. What a sweet kid.
Really, really fun.
Well, why don't we play a little bit of it?
Yeah, we'll
nice
play
people.
A little bit of it.
Sure.
And then we'll play a little bit of his Ellen interview, too. And then go to your DVR. It's Just Tuesday show. And check it out.
So did you have fun? It was your first time ever on any carpet, much less
the Oscars.
Yes, it was insane. It was such an indescribable feeling because I'm not used to red carpets like this, okay? I was thinking of just a strip, okay? Just a strip of a red carpet. I get there, I'm like, boom, okay? I'm like, wow, this is bigger than I could have ever imagined. Just seeing so many different celebrities and having them come up to me like they knew me personally, it was just awesome, and just feeling the love from everybody else as well as giving the love to all the other celebrities out there too.
It's really cool that they stopped, because you saw how many people from all over the world, and everybody wants to talk to those people. So the fact that some people came over and talked to you was a big deal because they love you. But I want to see this. Let's take a look.
Hey, Ellen, it's me, Jerry from Netflix's Cheer. I'm here today as your correspondent, and I'm just so excited to be here. So let's go pull out. Hi, how are you? Thank you so much. What are you guys most excited for tonight?
I'm finishing the first season of Cheer and seeing if you make it to Matt. Don't spoil it for me.
Jerry, this is what I want to say to you. You got this!
Yes!
You can do this,
yes!
Jerry!
Oh my
because
gosh.
My daughter was giving me some Matt talk as I was driving in the car.
Yes!
And we love you.
Thank you!
And we love
so
your big, beautiful heart.
Hey,
Yes.
What are you most excited for about tonight?
Well, I don't know what's going to be at this moment right now. I can't believe it. I feel like I manifested you in front of me.
Wait, when I sing tonight, can you do the thing? Can you give me a good cheering?
You want a good math? You want some math talk?
Yes, I do.
You got it! I believe you! You're going to kill it! I know you won your Oscars last year.
Yes.
And I won Daytona last year.
Oh,
I thought we have a lot in common,
yes,
don't
we
you
do.
Think?
Just some winners
okay,
here.
Okay, yay!
Yeah, welcome to the winner's circle, right?
And then the other thing is, so we get a text during the day on Sunday, Oscar Sunday.
Oscar Sunday, yeah.
From Ellen.
Yep.
DeGeneres.
Yes, from our host, who is apparently watching the red carpet coverage.
Yes, she is.
And sees a couple of the people from the movie Jojo Rabbit.
Yes.
And texts us and says, I would like the director of Jojo Rabbit and the young boy from Jojo Rabbit tomorrow.
Yes.
Now, they're already at the Oscars because she's seeing them on the red carpet, but she has the confidence in us.
God bless her.
To pull that off, and we have the fear to go do everything we can to make that happen. And sure enough, we got him. And so the director also...
And he won.
He won an Oscar. So his name is Taika Waititi. Taika Waititi. He's
Waititi.
New Zealand. He's a Kiwi. And so he did the adapted screenplay from a book that his mother recommended to him. He directed it.
Yep.
And he played the boy's imaginary friend, Adolf Hitler.
Right.
So he acted, wrote, and directed the movie.
Yep.
So it's his baby. It's his Rocky, as we kids from Philly would say. He wins an Oscar Sunday night, and he's on our show Monday to air Tuesday.
Yep.
With the little boy, whose name was
Roman
Griffin Davis.
Yes.
Roman was about 12?
12 years old.
I mean, that's a booking as fresh as today's news. It was the only TV interview the two of them did.
Right. Here, and you can listen to a little bit of it now.
Yep.
You can go to the DVR.
Yep.
But what you won't see until you see it on the DVR is Taika lets Roman walk out onto the stage carrying his Oscar.
He seemed like a sweet guy.
I mean, that's
awesome. Yeah.
That's just, you know, how great is that moment? Like you don't have many moments where you get to walk out with your Oscar on national television.
All right, so let's play a clip of Taika and Roman.
Hello, you two.
Hello.
I saw you.
You
met you at the Golden Globes.
Yeah, you know,
good to see you again. We have never met. And it's so, you're just brilliant.
Thank you.
You're brilliant. I mean, congratulations on the Academy Award and this movie, which is so, so good. And thanks for being here, because you've got to be tired.
Yeah.
I mean, you've never acted before. This is your first film. You're nominated for Golden Globe, then you're at the Oscars. And, I mean, this must be crazy for you to all of a sudden have
I mean,
all this.
I played a daffodil in a school play.
Oh.
So, you were
prepared.
Yeah, like that.
I just saw that. That's what I saw in you. So
a daffodil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought,
I would love
there's a daffodil, there's a kid who can play a daffodil, he's in this movie.
He could play anything at all. this movie, I have to tell you that I really had heard so much about it, but I didn't watch it for a while because I was like, how do you make a movie about Hitler and Nazis in that time, that period of history, funny? I just didn't get it. I didn't really, and I really resisted watching it for a while. And then I finally, you know, watched it, and Portia and I, we've watched it twice now, and I'm sure I'll watch it again with other people. I just tell everybody about it. It's one of my favorite films ever of all time, and it's funny, it's moving, it's explain to everyone what it is.
It's really tough to explain.
Yeah.
How would you describe?
It's about it's about what you describe it.
No one wants to describe the film.
Put the pressure on a 12-year-old.
It's about a little boy who's indoctrinated into the Hitler Youth who discovers a Jewish girl living in his attic. She's hiding in his house, and for him, he's never met a Jew before. And he only knows what he's been taught in the Hitler Youth camps, and so for him it's like having this monster, sort of like living in his house, and he has to deal with that. And the only way he can deal with it is with his imaginary friend, who
is Hitler.
Who is Hitler? And Hitler is you're hilarious. But it's a movie also about, it's exactly that. When you are only told something about a group of people and that's what you think of them and everyone else around you thinks that until you meet someone and go, oh, that's not what that person is. Yeah. So it's about love and acceptance and an open-mindedness, like especially of a young boy that just all of a sudden learns to think for himself.
Exactly. It's about learning to think for yourself and not falling into the trap of just following the group and trends of opinions about different cultures and learning to be more accepting of other cultures and other people.
There you go. I mean, Ellen, the way Ellen... She said it's one of her favorite movies of her entire life.
Yes.
All time. I agree. I think it's so charming. I love that movie.
We're going to watch it. We are going to watch it. And she did an Oscar monologue. She did a monologue about the Oscars.
She sure did.
She has a unique point of view because obviously she's hosted the Oscars a couple times.
Yep.
And then what's the difference between that and watching it on your couch?
Yeah.
How many of you watched the Oscars the other night? Did you watch it? Unfortunately, I did not win. Fortunately, I was not nominated, so it would have been weird if I did win, but I didn't win. I was at I hate talking about stuff like this, but I was a very, very exclusive party, like a very exclusive Oscar party. It was just small, very, very small. It was me and Portia, and we were at our house, and we had an open bar, and... We had red carpet because I spilled wine. And it's so much fun to watch at home. We didn't have to dress up. We just sat on our couch in our finest sweatpants. And then, you know, because I know these people, I'm watching the show, and then I'm texting as things are happening. Because I'm friends with these, because I thought Maya Rudolph and Kristen Wiig were hilarious, so I'm texting them. And then I texted Brad Pitt because I loved his speech and I love him. I was happy for him. I texted Martin Scorsese's eyebrows. I texted Portia to go to the kitchen to get some more popcorn. I sent a fax to Robert De Niro. Parasite was the big winner of the night, and so I texted Bong Joon-ho's translator, and then Bong Joon-ho's translator would text him, and then Bong Joon-ho would text his translator, and then Bong Joon-ho's translator would text me. Long story short, I sent him a nude. I haven't heard back.
And then I think there's one more clip that I would like to...
This is an audible, you guys. You're listening to the podcast, what you're about to hear is an audible. This is Ed.
Right.
The people making an ad.
Right. The people in this room sitting here with me now, they know that I am inspired by sports.
Yep.
I love sports.
Yeah.
I love athletes. I think there are amazing stories of like triumph over unbelievable odds in sports. And I just pull from that. That's just, I've just always loved it. And we had on the show Dwayne Wade, Yep. Retired basketball star, married to Gabrielle Union, played for years with the Miami Heat, won some world championships with the Miami Heat. He's from the city of Chicago. He went back and played for the Bulls for a couple of years, then I think ended his career with the Heat. And he's been retired for, I think this is just his first year retired. And he and Gabrielle Union have a few kids, and one of their kids, it would appear, is trans, but is very young, identifies as female.
Yep. Yes.
And has taken some heat, you know, in real life and on some social media platforms for the way she's living her life. And we booked Dwayne Wade on our show to talk about it. And he's so well-spoken and so gracious and, like, loving and inspirational all at the same time that I think it's worth hearing. And in this clip, you'll also hear him talk about Kobe, who he had this a very special relationship with Kobe. I think they were on the Olympic team that won a gold medal.
Mm-hmm.
And Kobe retired a couple of years before Dwayne Wade. And so they talked, he mentored Dwayne Wade about what to do in retirement because you're still really young and you're really wealthy. And if you don't find something to do, you're really bored. And it just was an amazing segment. So I'd love for you to hear it if you're still sticking around. So here you go.
First of all, I think it's what every parent should be, is what you're being right now, which is unconditionally loving your child and supporting your child in whoever they are. I mean, there are so many parents that are just, oh, you're not going the way I imagined or wanted you to be, and freak out, and you're so loving and supportive of Zaya, and what a special child she is.
Yes, she is, she is. Thank you so much for that. First of all, me and my wife Gabrielle Union, we are proud. When I say proud, we are proud parents of a child in the LGBTQ+ community. And we're proud allies as well. And we take our roles and our responsibility as parents very seriously. So when our child comes home with a question, when our child comes home with an issue, when our child comes home with anything, it's our job as parents to listen to that, to give them the best information that we can, the best feedback that we can. And that doesn't change because sexuality is now involved in it. So once Zaya, our 12-year-old, came home, and first Zion, everybody, I don't know if everyone knows, originally named Zion, born as a boy, came home and said, hey, so I want to talk to you guys. You know, I think going forward, I'm ready to live my truth. And I want to be referenced as she and her. I would love for you guys to call me Zaya. And so internally, now is our job to, one, go out and get information, to reach out to every relationship that we have. My wife reached out to everybody on the cast of Pose. We're just trying to figure out as much information we can to make sure that we give our child the best opportunity to be, you know, her best self.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that it's one thing... It's one thing to have this at home, but knowing that she's going to be out in the world because you're a public figure, and even if you weren't, she's going to school, and to want to be protective and to make sure she's safe, that must be a scary thing, because it's one thing for you to love her and your wife to love her, but that must, you just want everyone to love her the same way.
Exactly. And once Zion came home and said, hey, you called me Zaya and I'm ready to take on this, I looked at it and said, you are a leader. You are a leader, and it's our opportunity to allow you to be a voice. Right now, it's through us, because she's 12 years old, but eventually, it would be through her.
Right. Well, and GLSEN is an organization you're working with, and there's a lot of, if anybody else out there can relate to this and needs help, you can go to our website and we can direct you, because I'm sure there are a lot of people that just don't know what to do. Yeah. So you're a great example.
Thank you.
I know that everybody is still grieving over the loss of Kobe and all the people that we lost. You must have a lot of memories of Kobe, and he was just such a light, wasn't he? He was just such a bright, bright light.
He was special. I mean, I think my favorite, you know, we all have stories and moments of, you know, our interactions with, you know, one Kobe, but I think what was special about him, and why you see so many guys in the NBA or so many younger guys really tore up about this, is because he was the first superstar that really embraced different generations, really embraced us. And I think from like 2008 on, from the Olympics on, he really put his arms around us as competitors. And the rest of the world, you saw him being more involved in so many different sports, not just basketball and soccer, obviously, with his daughter and women basketball. But he just started being a person that everybody can call and reach out to and say, hey, Kobe, I have a question. So I'm going to miss that example.
Yeah.
Not only just my friend, but that example that he was setting, not only for me, but so many others.
Just going to say a shout out to the Crossroads girls varsity basketball team.
Okay, sure.
I attended.
Is this a paid integration?
Last Friday afternoon, evening, I attended one of the most exciting basketball games I've ever seen.
Who'd they play?
They played Viewpoint.
Oh.
And it was senior night. So it was the final. It was the final game of the season. And Viewpoint has a terrific team.
At Viewpoint?
At Crossroads. Crossroads has a great team. Crossroads, at the buzzer, at the end of regulation, ties the game to go into overtime.
Wow.
At the buzzer.
Wow.
Insane. Overtime, Crossroads is doing well. Crossroads is up. It is looking very good for Crossroads. Viewpoint,
mm-mm,
at the buzzer.
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
Drives the length of the court, at the buzzer, throws up a shot, wins by one.
Wow.
Whoa.
It was insane.
Wow.
It was so dramatic. It was so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Both teams so played so great.
Yeah.
And oh my God.
I think that's, did you see what happened at the North Carolina Duke basketball game?
No.
Kev, did you see it?
Big, huge rivals, right? So
sure.
Duke is in North Carolina.
North Carolina is in
North
Carolina.
University of North Carolina.
Yeah.
University of North Carolina. Yeah, it's in Chapel Hill.
Sure.
The school of one Michael Jordan.
Sure,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And so they're playing each other. It is it's one of the most fierce rivalries in sports. And they're playing at North Carolina. And Duke is down by, I think they're down by either down by one or down by two. And there's no time left, or there's maybe like 3 seconds left on the clock. And Duke is at the foul line. And the kid at the foul line intentionally misses the foul shot.
To get the rebound.
Gets his own rebound, scoops it up, scores. Duke wins with no time left.
It's unbelievable.
And North Carolina is out of their minds.
Right.
It was unbelievable.
Right.
That's what sports does.
That's what's so exciting about sports. You think you know exactly what's going to happen, and then
that's what Kevin says.
It doesn't necessarily happen.
Yep. Subscribe today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now.
Happy birthday, Kevin. We love you.
We love you, Kevin. Happy birthday.
Thank you, gang.
To watch Ellen weekdays for even more Ellen fun.
Bye, Portia. Woo-hoo.
Bye, Portia. Happy birthday, Kevin.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Woo.
We would so love to know more about you here at Ellen on the Go. Please head over to Wondery.com/survey. It's a really short survey that will help make this show better. The Wondery.com/survey. WONDERY.com/survey. We'd really appreciate hearing from you.